Chapter 13. Was not yet through with coast journalism. There was much interest just at this time in the Sandwich Islands, and he was selected by the foremost Sacramento paper to spy out the islands and report aspects and conditions there. His letters home were still infrequent, but this was something worth writing. To Mrs. Jane Clemens and Mrs. Moffat, in St. Louis, San Francisco, March 5, 1866. My dear mother and sister, I start to do Sandwich Islands day after tomorrow. I suppose Annie is geographer enough by this time to find them on the map, in the steamer, Jack's. We shall arrive there in about 12 days. My friends seem determined that I shall not lack acquaintances, for I only decided today to go, and they have already sent me letters of introduction to everybody down there worth knowing. I am to remain there a month and ransack the islands, the great cataracts and the volcanoes completely, and write 20 or 30 letters to the Sacramento Union, for which they pay me as much money as I would get if I stayed at home. If I come back here, I expect to start straight across the continent by way of the Columbia River, the Pend'Oreille Lakes, through Montana and down the Missouri River, only 200 miles of land travel from San Francisco to New Orleans. Goodbye for the present. Yours, Sam. His home letters from the islands are numerous enough, everything there being so new and so delightful that he found joy in telling of it. Also, he was still young enough to air his triumphs a little, especially when he has dined with the Grand Chamberlain and is going to visit the King. The languorous life of the islands exactly suited Mask Twain. All his life he remembered them, always planning to return someday, to stay there until he died. In one of his notebooks he wrote, Colin went with Mr. Dam to his cool, vine-shaded home. No careworn or eager, anxious faces in this land of happy contentment. God, what a contrast with California and the Washoe. And again. H. Islands there are on the face of the deep, where the leaves never fade, and the skies never weep. The letters tell the story of his sojourn, which stretched itself into nearly 5 months. To Mrs. Jane Clemens and Mrs. Moffat, in St. Louis. Honolulu, Sandwich Islands, April 3, 1866. My dear mother and sister, I have been here 2 or 3 weeks, and like the beautiful tropical climate better and better. I have ridden on horseback all over this island, Oahu, in the meantime, and have visited all the ancient battlefields and other places of interest. I have got a lot of human bones which I took from one of these battlefields. I guess I will bring you some of them. I went with the American minister and took dinner this evening with the King's Grand Chamberlain, who is related to the royal family, and although darker than a mulatto, he has an excellent English education and in manners is an accomplished gentleman. The dinner was as ceremonious as any I ever attended in California, 5 regular courses, and 5 kinds of wine and 1 of brandy. He is to call for me in the morning with his carriage, and we will visit the King at the palace. Both are good masons. The King is a royal archmason. After dinner tonight they called in the singing girls, and we had some beautiful music, sung in the native tongue. The steamer I came here in sails tomorrow, and as soon as she is gone I shall sail for the other islands of the group, and visit the great volcano, the grand wonder of the world. Be gone 2 months. Ears. Sam. To Mrs. Jane Clemens and Mrs. Moffat, in St. Louis. Waluku Sugar Plantation, Island of Maui, H.I., May 4, 1866. My dear mother and sister, 11 o'clock at night. This is the infernalist darkest country, when the moon don't shine. I stumbled and fell over my horse's lariat a minute ago and hurt my leg, so I must stay here tonight. I got the same leg hurt last week. I said I hadn't got hold of a spirited horse since I had been on the island, and one of the proprietors loaned me a big vicious colt. He was altogether too spirited. I went to tighten the cinch before mounting him, when he let out with his left leg and kicked me across a 10-acre lot. A native rubbed and doctored me so well that I was able to stand on my feet in half an hour. It was then half after four and I had an appointment to go 7 miles and get a girl and take her to a card party at five. I have been clattering around among the plantations for 3 weeks now, and next week I am going to visit the extinct crater of Mount Alicala, the largest in the world. It is 10 miles to the foot of the mountain. It rises 10,000 feet above the valley. The crater is 29 miles in circumference and 1,000 feet deep. Seen from the summit, the city of St. Louis would look like a picture in the bottom of it. As soon as I get back from Alicala, pronounced Aliekala, I will sail for Honolulu again and thence to the island of Hawaii, pronounced Hawaii, to see the greatest active volcano in the world, that of Kilauea, pronounced Kilauea, and from thence back to San Francisco and then, doubtless, to the States. I have been on this trip 2 months, and it will probably be two more, before I get back to California. Here's Affy Sam. He was having a glorious time, one of the most happy, carefree adventures of his career. No form of travel or undertaking could discountenance Mark Twain at 30. To Mrs. Orion Clemens, in Carson City, Honolulu, May 22, 1866. My dear sister, I have just got back from a sea voyage from the beautiful island of Maui. I have spent 5 weeks there, riding backwards and forwards among the sugar plantations, looking up the splendid scenery, and visiting the lofty crater of Alicala. It has been a perfect jubilee to me in the way of pleasure. I have not written a single line, and have not once thought of business, or care, or human toil or trouble or sorrow or weariness. Few such months come in a lifetime. I set sail again, a week hence, for the island of Hawaii, to see the great active volcano of Kilauea. I shall not get back here for 4 or 5 weeks, and shall not reach San Francisco before the latter part of July. So it is no use to wait for me to go home. Go on yourselves. If I were in the East now, I could stop the publication of a piratical book which has stolen some of my sketches. It is late. Goodbye, Molly, your bro Sam. To Mrs. Jane Clemens and Mrs. Moffat, in St. Louis, Honolulu, Sandwich Islands, June 21, 1866. My dear mother and sister, I have just got back from a hard trip through the island of Hawaii, begun on the 26th of May, and finished on the 18th of June, only 6 or 7 days at sea, all the balance horseback, and the hardest mountain road in the world. I stayed at the volcano about a week, and witnessed the greatest eruption that has occurred for years. I lived well there. They charge $4 a day for board, and $1 or $2 extra for guides and horses. I had a pretty good time. They didn't charge me anything. I have got back sick, went to bed, as soon as I arrived here, shall not be strong again for several days yet. I rushed too fast. I ought to have taken 5 or 6 weeks on that trip. A week hence I start for the island of Kauai, to be gone 3 weeks, and then I go back to California. The Crown Princess is dead, and thousands of natives cry and wail and dance for the dead, around the King's Palace all night and every night. They will keep it up for a month, and then she will be buried. Han. Anson Burlingham, U.S. Minister to China, and General Van Valkenburg, Minister to Japan, with their families and suites, have just arrived here en route. They were going to do me the honor to call on me this morning, and that accounts for my being out of bed now. You know what condition my room is always in when you are not around, so I climbed out of bed, and dressed and shaved pretty quick, and went up to the residence of the American minister and called on them. Mr. Burlingham told me a good deal about Han. Dear Clemens and that Virginia Clemens who was wounded in a duel. He was in Congress years with both of them. Mr. B. sent for his son, to introduce him, said he could tell that frog story of mine as well as anybody. I told him I was glad to hear it, for I never tried to tell it myself without making a botch of it. At his request, I have loaned Mr. Burlingame pretty much everything I ever wrote. I guess he will be an almighty wise man by the time he wades through that lot. If the new United States Minister to the Sandwich Islands, Hon. Edwin McCook, were only here now, so that I could get his views on this new condition of Sandwich Island politics, I would sail for California at once. But he will not arrive for 2 weeks yet, and so I am going to spend that interval on the island of Kauai. I stopped 3 days with Hon. Mr. Coney, Deputy Marshal of the Kingdom, at Hilo, Hawaii, last week, and by a funny circumstance he knew everybody that I ever knew in Annabelle and Palmyra. We used to sit up all night talking, and then sleep all day. He lived like a prince. Confound that island. I had a streak of fat, and a streak of lean all over it, got lost several times, and had to sleep in huts with the natives and live like a dog. Of course I couldn't speak 50 words of the language. Take it all together, though, it was a mighty hard trip. Yours affect. Sam. Burlingame and Van Valkenburg were on their way to their posts, and their coming to the islands just at this time proved a most important circumstance to Mark Twain. We shall come to this presently, in a summary of the newspaper letters written to the Union. June 27th he wrote to his mother and sister a letter, only a fragment of which survives, in which he tells of the arrival in Honolulu of the survivors of the ship Hornet, burned on the line, and of his securing the first news report of the lost vessel. Part of a letter to Mrs. Jane Clemens and Mrs. Moffat, in St. Louis. Honolulu, June 27, 1866. With a gill of water a day to each man. I got the whole story from the third mate and two of the sailors. If my account gets to the Sacramento Union first, it will be published first all over the United States, France, England, Russia, and Germany, all over the world, I may say. You will see it. Mr. Burlingame went with me all the time, and helped me question the men throwing away invitations to dinner with the princes and foreign dignitaries, and neglecting all sorts of things to accommodate me. You know how I appreciate that kind of thing, especially from such a man, who is acknowledged to have no superior in the diplomatic circles of the world, and obtained from China concessions in favor of America which were refused to Sir Frederick Bruce and envoys of France and Russia until procured for them by Burlingame himself, which service was duly acknowledged by those dignitaries. He hunted me up, as soon as he came here, and has done me 100 favors since, and says if I will come to China in the first trip of the great mail steamer next January, and make his house in Pekin my home, he will afford me facilities that few men can have there for seeing and learning. He will give me letters to the chiefs of the great mail steamship company which will be of service to me in this matter. I expect to do all this, but I expect to go to the States first and from China to the Paris World's Fair. Don't show this letter. Yours affably, Sam. P.S. The Crown Princess of this Kingdom will be buried tomorrow with great ceremony after that I sail in 2 weeks for California. This concludes Mark Twain's personal letters from the islands. Of his descriptive newsletters there were about 20, and they were regarded by the readers of the Union as distinctly notable. Rereading those old letters today, it is not altogether easy to understand why. They were set in fine nonpareil type, for one thing, which present day I simply refuse at any price, and the reward, by present day standards, is not especially tempting. The letters began in the Union with the issue of April the 16th, 1866. The first, of date March 18th, tells of the writer's arrival at Honolulu. The humor in it is not always of a high order. It would hardly pass for humor today at all. That the same man who wrote the Hawaiian letters in 1866, he was then over 30 years old, could, 2 years later, have written that marvelous book, The Innocents Abroad, is a phenomenon in literary development. The Hawaiian letters, however, do show the transition stage between the rough elemental humor of the Comstock and the refined and subtle style which flowered in the Innocents Abroad. Certainly Mark Twain's genius was finding itself, and his association with the refined and cultured personality of Anson Burlingame undoubtedly aided in that discovery. Burlingame pointed out his faults to him, and directed him to a better way. No more than that was needed at such a time, to bring about a transformation. The Sandwich Islands letters, however, must have been precisely adapted to their audience, a little more refined than the log Comstock, a little less subtle than the Atlantic public, and they added materially to his coast prestige. But let us consider a sample extract from the first Sandwich Islands letter. Our little band of passengers were as well and thoughtfully cared for by the friends they left weeping upon the wharf, as ever were any similar body of pilgrims. The traveling outfit conferred upon me began with a naval uniform, continued with a case of wine, a small assortment of medicinal liquors and brandy, several boxes of cigars, a bunch of matches, a fine-toothed comb, and a cake of soap, and ended with a pair of socks. N.B. I gave the soap to Brown, who bit into it, and then shook his head and said that, as a general thing, he liked to prospect curious, foreign dishes, and find out what they were made of, but he couldn't go that, and threw it overboard.
It is nearly impossible to imagine humor in this extract, yet it is a fair sample of the entire letter. He improves in his next, at least, in description, and gives us a picture of the crater. In this letter, also, he writes well and seriously, in a prophetic strain, of the great trade that is to be established between San Francisco and Hawaii, and argues for a line of steamers between the ports, in order that the islands might be populated by Americans, by which course European trade in that direction could be superseded. But the humor in this letter, such as it is, would scarcely provoke a smile today. As the letters continue, he still urges the fostering of the island. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.